You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
You know, even if you need some assurance that the things that you're struggling with are similar to the things that the other person's struggling with, just so you feel like you're not alone in your situation.
Plus, you're talking to somebody who has run an operation,
or
is heavily involved in running an operation, so that you have something in common to begin a conversation, and then it might lead to something in the future, or they might recommend you to some of their people, or whatever. It's spread.
Yep.
It's a very good way to get it out there. And it's more personal than is social media, which gets it out there, too.
Sure. Yeah. And it's free. How can you bring, and you get a breakfast. How can you beat that?
How can you beat free? Yeah. At the one in Mill Brokaw, he always has a speaker at his. It starts at, I think, 5:30 and runs to about 7, but... there's always a speaker there on some general topic which is of interest to everybody there. They've done various things in the past. I think Laura told me that they've done personal branding and goal setting and how to develop a business plan, and so forth. The things that are of interest. A short talk by some expert at this meeting.
Right.
Which is an evening meeting, late or beginning evening, I suppose, 5:30 to 7.
Yep.
In Frenchtown there. That's on the second Wednesday of the month.
Yeah, it's very cool. Lots of great. And then, then you have the opportunity to do the card clubs, which are also kind of formal networking sessions as well, but they're a different format.
Jim Gano runs Crown Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And he always does a Super Bowl tailgate card club.
Yep.
And that's coming up on February the 4th.
Right, right.
From 5:30 to 7:30, I think she said, which there are all kinds of things go on at that. They do a trophy-making contest and do some prizes for all kinds of chances to win, that kind of thing. And there'll be food and so forth, so...
Yep.
A tailgate card club.
Yep. So there's always a theme, and each the business that hosts it has an opportunity to showcase their business, and you get to have an informal social setting of kind of meeting people and saying hello.
Yeah. So it's an event. He's been doing it for several years.
Yep. Yes, he is.
At the Crown Trophy there in Flemington.
Yep.
Anyway, the Chamber also holds the third Thursday of every month. They hold a new member nation, they call it. It's really an open meeting for members and non-members alike, where you can get an idea of what is going on in the Chamber, how it can help you, what it's good for new people.
Yes.
As well as for people who are already members. They may not know all of the stuff that the Chamber does, and this is a good way to be there and ask your questions.
Yeah, because...
How can you help me?
Well, quite honestly, the Chamber has evolved, and your business and your mindset has evolved, and sometimes, back when you probably went through that orientation, things that you weren't listening for things because you were a different business mindset or a different chapter of business. So
now
you come back reminded of things that are available and or new things that have shown up that you didn't even know are happening.
I would think that it would be a very good idea to attend one of these once a year.
Sure.
Maybe even more often if you're having particular problems or want to ask questions of the Chamber. It's just a free and open meeting every third Thursday of the month,
mm-hmm.
from 8 to 9:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So you can stop by the chamber offices there at 14 Mine Street.
That's right.
And ask your questions, talk to people, maybe meet some new people. It can be a card exchange.
There you go. Another opportunity.
A good networking opportunity, sure.
Yep. And, you know, Chris and Laura, when they get to know you as a business owner, they will be your advocate as well. That's
sure.
the best part.
Sure.
So
they do a lot of ribbon cuttings for
yep.
businesses.
Right.
I think these are very good events to hold ribbon cuttings. Whether you're a new business or one that's been in business for 10 years and you're holding a 10th anniversary ribbon cutting, what mm-hmm. does it make? You're holding an event which is open to the public, and people will attend
yep.
and learn more about you and what you can do.
Sure, sure, very good. So, what does Al do on New Year's Eve? Al, how long do you stay up?
I don't stay up at all.
Have you ever watched the ball drop?
I have.
Okay.
In person.
Oh, really? All right.
In Times Square when I lived in New York, I went once.
Okay.
I also went once to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That was enough.
That's all you need. There you go.
My daughter was about 6 years old, and she wanted to go, so
right.
we went, and she sat on my shoulders the whole time.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for all you've done for me and having you on, and wish you the best of a Happy New Year. And
yeah.
You coming back on next year?
Absolutely.
All right. Gotcha.
As long as I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to go.
All right. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so
much. Happy New Year.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Al Ward, Business with Al, giving you insight into the 100 Chamber of Commerce, 100th anniversary, and all the things that the 100 Chamber of Commerce is going to be. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more of Good Morning 100 and 100chamber.com in just a few minutes.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with...
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. A couple of minutes late start today. Apologize for that. We'll jump right into things here. So, hope everybody had a great weekend. Celebration. Christmas, winter solstice, whatever you're celebrating. We did Christmas. We had a nice family get-together. Not my entire family, but ones of us that are in the metropolitan area anyway. And now we have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, another long weekend coming up. It's pretty, it's kind of nice if you have the holiday on a Friday, you get that extra day, right? And Thursday night, you can stay up a little bit later if you don't have to go to work on Friday. Most schools are out, so give yourself time to relax. Make your resolution to save your last week of debauchery, shall we call it. And then we straighten back out again, right? For at least a few weeks. So what's coming up this week? Oh, food celebrations. Today we celebrate chocolate. And as if there's not enough days we celebrate chocolate in one form or another. Of course, it is one of those perfect foods, right? So probably chocolate would be something you'd think about for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I think, truffles are probably what come to mind, so we'll talk about those a little bit. Something nice, quick, easy pickup, not too filling. And they can be made ahead. Relatively simple, just, you know, it's a little bit of time handling it, but after that, it's not, you can make it simpler, as complex as you want. 29th Pepper Pot. And that's a restorative, usually historically made with tripe, American-type soup. There's another version from India. It's all, but they're both spicy. I guess that's the name of the game. But the tripe stomach lining, it's well in Central South America, a soup that's made. It's a restorative, especially, I think it's good for hangovers. Don't know why they would have that on the 29th instead of maybe the 1st or the 2nd, but anyway. Oh, 30th, bicarbonate of soda, baking soda. You would think it a little unusual since these are food or beverage holidays, why we would remember baking soda, but it's really one of those ingredients that change the way we made a lot of things. If you think of a leavening agent, which helps your cakes and muffins and everything rise, you owe it in part to baking soda. Baking soda is a component in baking powder. What happens is you have the acid and the base together and create the bubbles that you need, the air that you need to make the dessert rise. And reading up, interestingly, I'm from Syracuse, and near the city is a town called Salve, and they had a plant there called the Salve process. And come to find out, that's where baking soda, one of the places, at least I'm not sure if they're still producing there, but when I was growing up, that was one of the industries there. It was Ernest Salve, a gentleman, came up with the process of making it. It's a chemical, natural substances, of course. It's a salt. I guess the one before it was washing soda, that was sodium carbonate. And so the baking soda has 3 CO3, I think it's the CO2. Anyway, but Salve was, we used to pass through it every day on the way to high school. A little interesting tidbit there for those of you in the Syracuse area. So the town was named after the gentleman that came up with the Salve process. 31st, naturally, would be champagne, New Year's Eve, obviously, right? We're going to crack a bottle of bubbly, even if it's a little what they call the splits or the half bottles, if you don't want to have too much, especially if there's only a couple of you. Good way to do it, because as we know, once the bubbles are gone, it is very good wine, especially the French or a good California sparkling wine. But if you're not, you don't want to finish a whole bottle, take a half bottle, or the little splits are always nice if you make if you like drinks made with champagne. And the first, of course, is Bloody Mary Day, right? Bloody Mary, and another supposedly the, I guess, the hair of the dog, a little bit of brunch drink, right? Get your vegetables in there, tomato juice, celery. Of course, now we tried it for a little while at the restaurant. The different garnishes, people, of course, the big one is bacon. We use a bacon-infused vodka, but some of them put little skewers of cooked food, seafood. I would think shrimp or lobster would be great in Bloody Mary. There's a little garnish there, but the drinks in some places become almost like a liquid lunch. The second is buffet day. Celebrate buffets, and probably if you're entertaining, doing brunch on New Year's Day, little buffet might be an easier way to do it, especially if you're having more people than usual. or if you're having food that's good to pick up or pass around, buffet usually helps out. And I like to do it. I do it on Christmas only because when people show up, you know, if you want to eat soup first, have some soup. If you want to go for the main course, I don't like these traditional rules all the time about when you have to eat certain things. And some people, I know my wife said, well, can't I just start with dessert? And actually, probably not a bad idea, but get your blood sugar back up. Your appetite would, you might eat less if you had a little something sweet to start with. So that's something to think about anyway. And then the third, of course, another chocolate-covered cherries. But we're going to deal today with New Year's Eve. Of course, restaurants will be busy doing special parties and, you know, limited menus. At Jake's, we just do our regular menu. We run some fancy specials, but we are kind of that everyday place. And, you know, if New Year's Eve happens to be on a Monday or a Tuesday, if somebody would normally step in on that night, why should we penalize that person by saying, oh, you've got to, you know, order off this special menu? And oftentimes there are things that are, of course, very expensive or fixed price. Restaurants try to maximize the revenues for the night, but also maybe offer something special as a little break for the customer. So we do both. We have the regular menu there, and then we add some nice specials. You know, we'll have, well, surf and turf in some form. Years ago, that was a very popular dish, and sometimes, you know, one year we did variations of it. We did surf and surf. We used the tuna steak to take place of the filet, so it was an all-seafood dish. But I think today we're going to look at the components of surf and turf. Take the very basic, probably the original one, a slice of beef filet, either a steak or roast, and lobster. Both are expensive, both are very versatile, and maybe, just maybe, for New Year's Eve to treat yourself, you might consider using these products, because you can get some other uses. And, you know, you can buy just the center cut filet and some lobster tails, but buying larger pieces and doing a little cutting and butchering, being a little creative, you can have you can get a couple of different meals out of the same product. So we're going to break for a couple of messages, and then we'll talk about lobster, we'll talk about tenderloin, and maybe chocolate truffles. Chef Bill's Table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, back at the table here, Chef Bill. We're going to do our, what's probably some people might consider old school or a cliche, surf and turf. And I say there's many ways to do it out there. People get creative with it. We'll wind up with a couple of suggestions too. But the first, beef fillet, tenderloin, you know, expensive cut of meat. Although this Christmas season, this winter season, The prime rib, the beef rib cut went way up. I think ribeye cost the same per pound as a whole tenderloin now. Go figure. Last year it was the opposite. The fillets are very expensive. It's all supply and demand in the marketplace. But I think this year everybody went for the rib roast. And you know, the fillet, it's... Yes, the price on a center cut fillet is a little scary. But if you have a little time and aren't afraid of practicing little knife skills, you can actually, if you buy a whole tenderloin, a whole fillet, and they're peeled. You know, back when I first started, of course, they came, a lot of fat around it. It's a muscle that lies underneath the loin, underneath the backbone, so it gets no exercise. There's a lot of fat around it, but not much fat inside it. Very tender. Obviously not as much flavor as a nice loin steak or strip steak, but for tenderness, you can't beat it. And adaptable to many dishes, from raw, the carpaccio or steak tartare. The one thing we don't recommend is cooking it too well done, because of the lack of fat. It will still be tender, but it tends to dry out a little bit. So we like to keep that nothing more than medium. As I say, for me, you know, of course, the Pittsburgh style, char the outside and leave the inside almost raw, so you get kind of the flavors of both. That nice charred caramelized crust, and then still very, very rare in the middle. Use beef like that, tataki. We've served tuna that way, but beef certainly goes well that way, just seared and then sliced thinly and served with, well, maybe traditional Japanese garnishes, or shredded vegetables tossed in a light rice vinaigrette. Very nice for summertime. With the whole tenderloin, of course, you have to take off what's called the silver skin, because that's not really fat. That's something that won't be too tasty or too texture-wise either. You don't want that in there. So you can get a couple of cuts out of this. You can get a roast, a Chateaubriand. Some chefs will take that from what's called the head of the tenderloin. If you envision the fillet, the thicker part of it, which is back near where your porterhouse steak comes from, it almost separates into a couple of other muscles. So if we take out just the one that ends in a taper, point, then we have what we call a barrel cut for our steaks. And then you have the two lobes, which you call the ear, the other part of the head of the tenderloin. Could be broken down into smaller steaks or tips. But some people take the Chateaubriand, and they'll cut it right across that thickest part. And it's like a miniature roast. It's always served in classical restaurants. Fancy ones, Chateaubriand for two, so it'd be a little filet roast, which cooks very quickly, by the way. You can cook it at a high temperature. I like to sear it in a pan first to caramelize it, because it's only going to take maybe half an hour or so, if that. We used to cook them to order, as a matter of fact. When I worked in fancy places like that. So you could do a roast, a Chateaubriand. You can also get your center-cut steaks, your filet mignon. And traditional restaurants, maybe 7 or 8 ounce steak, which is nice. There's no fat on it. It doesn't really shrink that much. Other cuts called tornados or medallions, good for grilling, good for a combination. Just say if you did want a steak and lobster tail, normally you'd have, you know, a little smaller steak and then something else with it. Mixed grill, if you had a little filet, a lamb chop, and maybe a pork tenderloin works very well too. So as the filet tapers, you've cut your smaller steaks, and of course the ends and pieces, and even the chain, the strap that runs down the side, you'll get little tips for a sauté or for skewers. So out of the whole tenderloin, you can get, you might, depending on the size of it, you know, if you get a smaller one for 4 pounds or so, that might be good. We buy the heavier ones. We need that for larger steaks. It's better to get the larger eye, so you don't have to cook them too long. But you'll get two or three meals out of a tenderloin. And it may seem, you know, a little repetitious to eat it three times in a row, but seriously, what's wrong with that, right? Nice having the best. But if you make use of the parts, then it's not as expensive as just buying center-cut fillets. We use our tips at the restaurant. We call it a porterhouse salad now, because we take our, it's actually where you would cut a porterhouse from that end of the strip loin, which has a kind of a little muscle running through it. It's okay when something is sliced, like porterhouses normally are, but we don't use them for our center-cut strip steaks. So we have those sirloin ends, and we have our tips. We marinate it, and it's 3 parts orange juice to 1 part soy sauce and a little garlic. Nice thing about that marinade, it doesn't cook the meat. It doesn't turn it, like, say, like a sauerbraten or a vinegar-based one or something with stronger acid will kind of dull up the color of the meat. The orange juice is very mild, but between the soy and the orange juice, a slight tenderizing effect, flavoring effect, and then we grill those and put them on a baby green salad. Just a simple vinaigrette, a little crumbled gorgonzola. One of our most popular dishes, as a matter of fact, year-round. Just right, you know, it's right. A few ounces of very good beef and a salad. It's a complete meal. When you put me on the Wolverine. And, of course, fillets, normally you'd try to serve a sauce, unless you're just grilling them on the outside and pick up, you know, you still might want a little seasoning rub on it, but disadvantage to a fillet is there's no bones. It's hard to make stock with it. So you'll need, if you're using a brown sauce, of course, you'll need some, you know, some demi-glace or some, you know, some veal stock, some beef stock. But otherwise, I guess the classic, well, in restaurants, was a béarnaise, which is a sauce based on the hollandaise, your egg yolks and butter. And instead of lemon juice, you make a tea out of some tarragon vinegar, some shallots and peppercorns, or you can take dried tarragon and steep it in a good wine vinegar for a little while and strain it, and you'll have that tarragon flavor. Tarragon's fairly strong, you don't need a whole lot of it, but you'll make your hollandaise, emulsify the egg yolks and butter, and then this little bit of tea will go in there as your acid, the tarragon vinegar. And then some chopped fresh tarragon and maybe a little parsley. So it looks, you know, it's got the herbs all through it. Very different flavor than hollandaise, but same process. So if you're good with a whisk, Nice, quick sauce to make. You don't need stock. The other thing we like, you know, of course, a poivre, a peppercorn. If you're doing your steak in the pan, you get a little bit of that fond, a little bit of the brownings there. You can deglaze with some brandy. We use brandy and white wine. And shallot, reduce that a little bit. Then we add some brown stock. It could be anything. It could be veal stock, brown stock, just beef juice. Cook that down a little bit, and then finish it with a little cream and mustard. And then green peppercorns, or if you like the black crushed peppercorns, some chefs do both. They'll coat the steak with crushed black pepper, the cracked pepper, and then add some of the green ones. Green are, you could buy those, they're always packed in brine, little cans. They're softer, they're just not, they're not fermented or dried out. So, a little easier to chew than the black ones. So, that's your filet. Again, if you buy the whole one, you'll get two or three meals out of it. You can enjoy a nice first-class cut of beef and maybe save yourself a little money. We've got a break for news right now, so we'll come back and talk about the lobster component, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor.
She started screaming, the call disconnected. I tried to call her back and I couldn't. It was the worst day ever. Just felt like something inside of me died, you know?
That's Ruben Perez of Rowlett, Texas, telling Fox News he lost his wife in one of what the National Weather Service has confirmed as 9 tornadoes that have left behind death and destruction across parts of North Texas. The death toll is one of the highest in the area's history. The National Weather Service says the 11 deaths put it second on the list behind a 1927 twister outbreak that killed 35. One of North Texas' largest employers is now donating $100,000 to the Red Cross after the weekend tornadoes. American Airlines announced the donation today, saying it's doing its best to help North Texas. General H. Norman Schwarzkopf, who commanded the American-led forces that crushed Iraq in the 1991 Persian Gulf War and became the nation's most acclaimed military hero in recent times, died Thursday in Tampa, Florida. He was 78 years old. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance, NCSA. As Americans make their resolutions for the new year, they should keep digital safety top of mind. The average adult spends more than 11 hours each day connected to electronic media, TV, radio, smartphones, and other devices. Resolving to safeguard our digital lives is an important step in our shared responsibility to protect the Internet. NCSA has some simple digital resolutions everyone should make. Turn on two-step authentication to better secure accounts. Limit sharing of personal information on unsecure free Wi-Fi. And at home, assign digital chores to maintain device security and engage the whole family in online safety. Michael Kaiser, Executive Director, NCSA.
In our global, always connected age, everyone needs to adopt good habits to lead a safer, more secure online life. Starting the new year by implementing easy, basic, and reliable security practices will give peace of mind as you use the Internet. Remember, every action you take to be safer online makes the Internet more secure for everyone.
For more, visit staysafeonline.org.
Local weather here at 100chamberradio.com. Today, mostly cloudy, high near 42. It's 38 outside right now, so we're getting there. Possibly rain and sleet tonight, and then after early morning, turning to all rain as it warms up. Let's see, Tuesday, rain in the morning, then showers in the afternoon. Could be heavy at times. Cloudy on the overnight Tuesday, low in the upper 30s. Chance of showers Wednesday afternoon, high in the 50s. Wednesday night showers likely, otherwise cloudy, low in the 40s. Clearing up Thursday. Thursday night, New Year's Day, sunny. Highs hanging, you know, between the 40s and the 50s. Looks good through the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Right, back at the table here, Chef Bill, talking about basic surf and turf, old school, right? Steak and lobster. Sometimes it's good to go back. So lobsters, what do we do about lobster, right? To me, the true lobster, the North Atlantic lobster, American lobster, Maine, of course, is in the Canada, big source of those creatures all the way down. Jersey, we have them here too in the summer, the softer shell ones. The colder the water, the harder the shell. So the hard shell, you get a little bit more meat per pound. The new shells, a little bit sweeter, a little softer. But, you know, there's people have their preference there. So try to get the nice hard shells. Also on the eastern Atlantic, the European lobster, similar to the one we have in Maine. So differences between that and your other lobster tails is that we have our northern lobsters have the edible claws. And that meat is a little bit different than the tail meat. The tail meat is a little firmer. The claws, of course, very soft, very tender. And they have more of the red color to it when they're cooked. Your spiny or rock lobsters are everywhere else. There's warm and cold water. So you got them off, you know, Florida, Bahamas, all the way down to, I mean, Australia harvests them. South African, very cold water tails. New Zealand used to years ago. One time we even got some from Hawaii one time. Haven't seen them in years on the market, though. But those lobsters, of course, the claws, there's no claws that are edible. They're just like pinchers. And that's kind of related to what your crawfish would be, or crayfish, depending on how you pronounce it, would be your kind of your freshwater version. And even a scampi, not scampi, the garlic recipe, but the real, the Mediterranean, it's Italy, that's I guess where the dish came from, the very large shrimp, kind of a lobster-like texture. And again, the claws are just pinchers, there's no meat in them. So we like the North American lobster. You can buy them already steamed if you like. The advantage, I like very versatile because you can reheat the cooked meat. It doesn't get too tough. Sometimes the other lobster tail meat gets a little chewy. The main lobster, to me, always tender. Buying it whole, of course, is the best way. The live lobster, make sure it's kicking well. Again, a little bit of preparation is involved. Usually for recipes, we like to blanch the lobster first. Boiling water, best way, for a few minutes. Reason we do that is with the lobster, of course, the tail meat you could separate from the shell relatively easily, but the claw meat and the what they call the knuckle meat, the leg meat, very hard to get out when the lobster is raw. So we always like to, if we're going to use it for a hot dish, we par cook it first and then put it in cool water to stop the cooking process. And then you're able to extract the meat. You can still save the shells for a stock or a broth to make your sauce with. Another advantage of boiling the lobsters is at least you've got a start of some lobster-flavored water there that you can use as a base for a sauce. We've done... say you want to grill the lobsters, you still par cook them and then mark them back up on the grill. We like to do the stuffed lobster. Thermidor, again, old school sauce, often contains mushrooms, a little dry mustard. It's a brandy cream. Some people even sprinkle a little Gruyere cheese to melt. I guess we were talking about that same. You know, you've got one of the richest tasting shellfish out there, and then we'd add cheese to it. Of course, at Jake's, we do lobster mac and cheese, which is a very popular item. So for the Thermidor, so you've got your lobsters could also be cut up for a stir fry or a soup. And again, the part that people don't like, you know, if you take the knife, you sever the spinal cord, there's no pain. And some people advocate putting it in the freezer so they just fall asleep and then you can work with them. But the tail meat, you can remove the tail in one big piece and slice nice medallions. And then we'll use either nutcrackers or the heel of a knife. Try not to be too violent if you want to extract the claws whole, but the shell should come away relatively easy. You've got the on the claw, the what we call the knuckle meat, and again, a nutcracker and even a little a nut pick would be good to get the meat out, or a little cocktail fork. And then some people even take the small legs. I used to call it lobster spaghetti. You can, and if you're eating whole lobster with your hands, of course, you just break the leg and the little tiny sliver of meat can be pulled out. I think there was a process where I think people used rollers. Once the meat was cooked, it was you press with even a rolling pin, press on the shell and squeeze that little bit of meat out. You can, like the fillet, you can use everything. What I've done, say instead of lobster stock, it was saw in the Times months ago, very good idea, is take your lobster shells and crush them up. And, you know, say you have shells from one or two lobsters. Take a pound of unsalted butter and melt it with the tails and add a little water. What you're doing, I guess, would be kind of butter poaching, where you've got a little, the emulsion is there. You've got some water and some butter, so it stays kind of creamy. And a very, very low simmer. I simmer them, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes. I simmered these lobster shells in this butter. And, of course, a lot of the water will evaporate out. You strain that, and then as it cools, you take a whisk and blend it back together. Butter, whole butter is an emulsion as it is. It's about 80% butter fat, about 20% milk solids and water. So what you're trying to do is, with this lobster butter, is instead of having it separate, that little bit of liquid that's left, of course, has a lot of flavor, and you emulsify that back into the butter. Then it can be chilled, it can be frozen, and used to enrich sauces. It's crazy, but it's got very intense lobster flavor. You use unsalted butter because lobsters, being, you know, saltwater fish, usually has enough salt in it. And freezing it, what I would do is chill it and cut it into little bits, and then you can freeze it, seal it up, and whenever you need a little lobster flavor, you've got it. So the butter, usually, you know, you're doing lobster, you're having butter anyway, so instead of making broth and having to cook it down, and you've got, it just saves you a lot of room, and it's pretty quick to do, too. But when the lobster's par-cooked, we'll split it, and you clean the little pouch out of the head. If you want to save the coral, and that's another thing that'll intensify sauce. Some people don't want that too much, so they just discard it. But now you've got a nice body cavity there. We take the claws and knuckles, crack those, and you have that meat. Put it back in the body cavity, and what we're going to do is probably mix it with some... You could mix it with crayfish or crab. And then the sauce, again, it's a brandy cream, a little mushrooms and mustard. And then if you like a little bit of cheese, what you do is put the sauce on the cooked lobster and into the oven you go until it browns. So you're just basically reheating the seafood and letting the cream sauce brown a little bit, or you could put it under a broiler. But nice way to present lobster, even if you didn't want the heavy sauce on it, just make a stuffing or even a crab cake mix and pack it right in that lobster body cavity. It's got a nice vehicle for presentation. It's also very easy to eat. You don't have to worry about picking it up. Quick version, though, if you didn't want to mess with the whole lobster. Of course, we've done, fried lobster tail is great. Bread it with panko crumbs. That's an indulgence. You'd think, why would you fry something as rich as that? And then, actually, the best part is to dip it in melted butter, although we serve it with a mustard sauce also. But great little snack or an alternative for your surf and turf, if that's what you like. If you took a tail... And you can buy now, of course, the Canadian or the Maine tails. North American lobster. Very good. Again, the simplest surf and turf, you broil the lobster tail. But we've done those stuff, too, is we take the lobster tail and you cut it in half through the top of the tail, the round part, open it up, and you pull the meat out. And then in the lobster shells there, that's where you would put your seafood mixture. It could be crab, could be anything. And then lay the lobster tail back on top of that. It takes a little bit longer to cook, but the lobster meat as it cooks will flavor that stuffing. And it's a nice kicked up version of a lobster tail. And we've done it without the shell. Simply take a crab cake and flatten it out, make it an oval shape, and then lay the tail out of the shell right over top and just let them cook like that. Something very easy to eat, very delicious, and if you want to stretch out the lobster with another seafood, that's the way to do it. We've got to take a break for some messages here, and we'll be back at the table and see what our truffles are going to be like. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, back at the table here, Chef Bill, winding down another hour. Gosh, went quickly. Get excited about these things. Good basic food done properly. Like using the, I think buying it in a more whole form is better too. You can buy it fresh instead of something frozen. And if you're doing lobsters, say you happen to have some lobster meat left over. Say you bought whole lobsters, you just use the tails for a dish, you've got some claws left. lobster mac and cheese, of course, one of our menu staples there. That would actually be a good little surf and turf item. You could have a nice filet steak and a little side dish of lobster mac and cheese, and you know that would probably fill the bill right there. We have an option. I've seen we do lobster sliders. We've been running them since summer. Lobster, you know, have been stayed plentiful, so good snack. That's our version of a lobster roll. Make the lobster salad with the meat from the whole lobster. It's just a tiny bit of minced celery and a touch of Old Bay and mayonnaise. Very, very little filler. We want this to be, it's just like eating a lobster the easy way. Of course, the hot version, if you're doing them, I like that version. If you grill the New England hot dog roll and just take lobster meat and saute it in more butter and just pour it in the roll. And that's good with crab. It's good with shrimp. Any kind of, if you want a good little snack, it's just, it's buttery and very good. But I've seen guests, we have a Angus sirloin steak sandwich on the menu, and some people will order a steak sandwich and an order of sliders and then share. Each have a half a steak sandwich and a lobster slider. Really good, everyday casual surf and turf, right? That's what we like to call it. So our truffles, which would probably be a good dessert. Basically, chocolate ganache. Sometimes they're enriched a little bit with maybe the chocolate, maybe with some egg yolk. If you're using a bitter chocolate, you may have to, of course, add some sugar. Easiest way, make ganache. A half a pound of semi-sweet or bittersweet, whichever you prefer, of chocolate. Have those cut up in little pieces, and you take a cup of heavy cream and get it hot. You don't need it to boil. You need it scalding. Just tiny bubbles around the edge of the pot. Pour it over the chocolate in a bowl. Let it sit for a little while. That chocolate's going to melt. And blend it together till it's smooth. And then you can flavor it however you want. You could use maybe very strong coffee or a little espresso. You could use Grand Marnier, Amaretto, any kind of liqueur that you like, or even extract. And you let the ganache cool. You don't want to get it, I mean, you could put it in the refrigerator, but it just has to be very, very cool room temperature until it solidifies so you can handle it. And then with a little teaspoon or a melon scoop, something to be able to portion it. And you have the basic ones are done just with some cocoa powder. Have a little bit of that in a bowl, and you make little balls of chocolate ganache and roll it in the cocoa. It's supposed to simulate a black truffle that you would find in the forest. Other variations, of course, some people might take the ganache balls or the portions. In America, a lot of times they're like a half egg shape, easy to decorate. But you take they could be a little, they don't have to be perfect in shape either. That's why they simulate the truffle. Instead of cocoa powder, you may want to roll them in chopped nuts, or you might want to use, you know, you want to use coconut, you want to use, I guess anything that would stick to the ganache. And then you've got something, you store them at cool room temperature. And, you know, it's just so they're not melting. I guess it's summertime, you might want to cool them a little bit more. But right now, this time of year, perfect time for it. Another neat thing about ganache, too, very versatile. It's good as a cake filling. You can whip ganache to make it a little bit lighter and fluffier for a cake filling or an icing. Or when it's still warm and pourable, it makes a nice glaze. My favorite is always Marcel de Saulnier's Death by Chocolate. And you can actually make one. You could take a flourless chocolate cake recipe, have a couple of layers of that, whip the ganache for filling, and then glaze it with more ganache. So you've got like a really triple chocolate going on there. And basically you could make the flourless chocolate with your semi-sweet, you could make it all with the same chocolate, or you may want to vary from a semi-sweet to a bittersweet depending. But anyway, ganache, great weapon to have in your arsenal there of things to cook, good versatile ingredient or finished product, and you can play around with it. You can kind of customize it to what you like. And then, of course, champagne. And I talk about champagne sometimes on the show. The method by which it's made, a lot of people are familiar with that. It's a beverage that kind of goes with everything. And don't ignore it for, especially if you're having a surf and turf. Like, I got some fish, I got some meat, I know what to do. Champagne is the perfect beverage to have with that. So at least have a little taste. Toast the new year. Have your surf and turf for dinner. And then, of course, the next day have a nice Bloody Mary brunch buffet. You can kill the whole week here, right, with food holidays. Even on your buffet, if you want to make a little pepper pot. And even if it's not using the tripe, you could do a menudo is down the South American or Central American version. Maybe substitute something else, but just have those good hearty restorative soup. If you're going out for New Year's Eve, have a ball. So most steakhouses, if you're going there, of course, offer a surf and turf option. One of my favorites, and you'll see it, sometimes people will do, say, a short rib ravioli with a seared scallop. Scallops go well with anything, if you like scallops. Again, fairly expensive, but get the good dry seas. One of my favorites I've done is braised short ribs, and I actually used buffalo short ribs, so they're a little bit leaner. Flavor very similar to beef, but then you get a nice sauce from the short ribs. And then you just sear the scallops and serve it along with them. The scallops actually do work well with the brown sauce. So that could be another option. New surf and turf, and then give you a chance to try something, a different cut of meat. Use buffalo instead of beef. And the scallops, of course, nice and fresh. What's better than that? Well, we're going to sign off. I got to run for another week. Got a busy week coming up. Hope you all have a safe, happy new year. Look forward to it. We're finishing up, of course, in the Northeast. Not much to worry about weather-wise yet, but we'll see what happens. So, anyway, Chef Bill signing off. Happy New Year, and we'll see you in the new year. Maybe come up with some different ideas for you at the table here. Thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The death toll from the weekend tornado outbreak in North Texas is one of the highest in the region's history.
We've had 11 fatalities here in Dallas and Collin County area. That's the most fatalities in those two counties together that we've had since an event back in May of 1927.
National Weather Service meteorologist Tim Bradshaw says the 1927 twister outbreak left 35 dead. 10 lives were also lost in 1957 when a tornado hit Dallas. Most of the deaths from Saturday came when an EF4 tornado touched down near Garland. Bradshaw adds it's unusual for North Texas to get tornadoes in December, but it isn't unheard of. He says it happens every 7 to 10 years.
We get tornadoes here during the month of December probably every 7 to 10 years or so.
But yes, that does make it rather unusual, but not